I was not planning to write a sermon for today. But last night, just at like 11:59 or so, Micah came running out and said something was wrong, and I had to go lay down with him to try to get him back to sleep. And as I was laying there, and he like didn't really go back to, it was a whole thing. You know, it's a whole thing. But Happy New Year, I guess, I thought to myself. But as I was laying there, I started thinking about the previous week, Sarah and I had gone to what's called the Gathering, which some of you have heard of. It's every year in Michigan between Christmas and New Year's, there's like a 3-day thing where high school kids and young adults go and gather at the Lansing Center in Lansing. And do, it's sort of like a mini Bible camp retreat thing for high school kids and now college students. And we were there for work stuff, and it was pretty fun. And in one of the adult sessions, the schedule for this thing, like, lights out at 12:30 a.m., of course, you know. The thing starts at, like, 10 in the morning, and most of the actual action happens after worship is done at 8:30 at night, you know. So like, it gets sort of long. So the one of the adult sessions, it was, like, 10 or 10:30 at night, and we're in this adult talking session, and everybody was feeling a little punchy because it's a long day, you know. And so we're at one of these things, and somebody was talking, and they were talking about different kinds of concerns, and it was an exercise, and you were supposed to talk about a heart concern as opposed to a head concern. And I got real cranky about what is this arbitrary distinction that you're making between a heart concern and your head concern? And in particular, they said, well, you know, like global warming, that's a head concern. I'm like, unless you love your grandchildren. But I didn't shout that out loud. I merely said that to people later at a table because I was being a little bit, I had like that much politeness left in me. But anyway, so last night as I was laying in bed with Micah and I was a little annoyed again because why am I awake right now? I remembered this other thing, and I was thinking about this head concern and this heart concern. And what I thought of is, you know, it sort of plays in, again, it plays into this false dichotomy between the head and the heart. And where, like, the head is the intellect and the rational and the heart is, like, your feelings or whatever. And the problem with that in the church is that some people feel like faith is what you believe. It's something in your head. And some people feel like faith is what you feel with your emotions. And I feel like I believe both of those things, right? Those are kind of the same thing. And they get confusing and people get really fired up about it. But I say that those are like two sides of a wooden nickel. Like, neither of those is what faith actually is. I mean, yes, belief is part of faith, and yes, how it makes you feel is part of faith, but neither of those gets the whole story really at all. And there's a lot more to faith than that. There's a lot more to following Jesus than what's in our heads and what's in our hearts. And then I got to thinking about how, you know, even that distinction is cultural to us and wouldn't have made any sense to the people in Jesus' time, because they thought of the head and the heart in very different ways. So when I got up from Micah, and of course he was still awake, and so then Sarah had to lay down with him, I went and looked up the heart in ancient Near Eastern and biblical thought, and there's a lot of boring stuff, but I'll skip over most of it. In the Bible, is as one place, the heart had a, you know, it means a lot of different things, sort of metaphorically and sort of literally. So part of the understanding in those days was that the heart was the center of physical activity. They knew the heart was beating and moving, and they figured that the heart was the place where all of your physicality came from. It was the center of your body. The heart was also, it was the place of wisdom and intellect. Like, the wisdom of Solomon was the wisdom of his heart. The heart was the place where you made decisions. The heart was the place of your desires. The heart was the place of hiddenness. So the hidden, what is hidden in your heart is real and true. The heart was the place of spirit, and yes, the heart was the place of emotion in some places in the Bible. It sounds to me like the heart was, it really almost represented the whole self, or at least the place where all the parts of yourself come together. That's what the heart is. It's not just one, it's not just emotions, it's not just one thing. Which brings us, of course, back to our reading today, when Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Mary, maybe more than anybody else in the history of anything, knew with her whole being what God was doing. Mary didn't just believe and she didn't just feel. She like literally had Jesus born in her body, right? In every way. I mean, and Mary did believe and Mary did feel. In every way. In every aspect of her being, everything that could possibly be called Mary, she knew that God was doing a new thing with Jesus. And that's why when it says Mary pondered in her heart, it's not just in her heart. Mary pondered in her whole self. She knew with her whole being what God was doing. Mary is a great example of, and a great sort of paragon of, the theological concept of embodiment, right? And that gets into Jesus. We have the fancy word incarnation. God becoming fully human. Jesus having hair and fingernails and other and bodily functions, and like he has an itch in his side and scratch it, you know? Jesus was in a heart. Yes, absolutely. And Jesus' whole self was totally human, like all of us, and Jesus' whole self was totally God, unlike all of us. He contained multitudes. Jesus is more than an idea or a feeling. This is the time of year when we know this. Oh, and in today's lesson, by the way, if you're going to talk about Jesus' embodiment and Jesus' incarnation, Jesus was circumcised, like, which is an actual physical thing, which none of you would sign up for today. Right? Like, this is an actual physical embodied thing that happened to him, like it's happened to so many others. Jesus is not just an idea or a feeling. Jesus is all of God in all of us. I don't just mean in each of us, I mean in all of each of us. Jesus was born for our whole selves. Not just so we'd believe the right things or feel the right things. Jesus was born for our whole selves. Jesus came to save all of us, even the parts of us we'd rather get rid of. Look at the ways Jesus healed people. This is a little bit of interactive part, at least. How did Jesus heal people in the Bible? Like, healed them of what? Or leprosy. Okay, that's one. So a physical blindness. Ailment. What's that?
Blindness.
Yep. Deafness. Yep. The mute could speak again.
Demons,
yep. And demons, being possessed by a demon, some people equate that to what we now call mental illness. Those kinds of things. How else did Jesus heal people?
He made the lame walk.
He made the lame walk, yep, absolutely.
He forgave
people, yes, that's a huge one. Jesus forgave people, gave them a new opportunity, yes.
He raised them. That's my first choice. And I said, he made careful that they would.
That's right. Jesus made it so that we wouldn't fall down and run around being crazy. That's right. Jesus calmed us. There's a little bit of healing there. Jesus, one of the things I was thinking about is that Jesus reconciled relationships, which was pointed to at some of these things. When Jesus cured leprosy, people were allowed to come back into society. You know, Jesus restored relationships, brought people back to each other. Forgiveness is a big part of that as well. I also thought of Jesus healing people by challenging their false assumptions. Because it can be healing to get out of this mindset that some people were in. I mean, for instance, some of the Pharisees that thought they were better than everybody else. If you get out of that, that's a form of healing. When you see how you truly relate to everyone and how we're all on the same team. Jesus healed people physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the ways. Jesus came to heal our whole selves. And so I say to you today, as we celebrate the name of Jesus here at Waffle Church, that whatever is broken about you, Jesus came for that. Whether it's your bad foot or your bad attitude, whether it's your anxiety, your estrangement from your family, whatever is weighing you down or slowing you down or tripping you up, Jesus came for that. If it's something inside you, Jesus came for that. If it's something that's happening to you, Jesus came for that. Jesus came to ease your burdens, whatever form they take, whatever forms they take. There's no part of us, even the hidden part of our heart, that is truly hidden from the love of God in Jesus. That's the message of Christmas. Because Jesus was born of Mary, because Jesus was fully human, we can trust that God loves all of us, all of me, even the parts that I don't like, even the parts I want to change. Not that Jesus says you should never change. And there are parts of me that I should change, and Jesus would probably agree. But Jesus loves all of us. Jesus loves all of you, even the broken parts, your whole self.
So, He'll fix you.
And Jesus will fix you, one way or another, over time. Don't get impatient or greedy, but yeah, Jesus will fix you. So your health cannot keep you from God's love and cannot keep you from being the person God wants you to be. Your sin, your anger, your secrets, your poor finances, whatever it is, none of these things can keep you from being the person God wants you to be, can keep God from loving you and forgiving you and setting you free. Mary knew all of this. She knew it in her heart, and in her head, and in her womb, and in her arms, and in Joseph's hands, and in her baby. Jesus, the same Jesus that's here with us today, in bread and wine, in word, in light, and in one another. Jesus, with us here today. Amen.